Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Lisa Mullins.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. If all had gone according to plan in the trial of Boston Marathon bombing suspect Jahar Tsarnaev, jurors would have been seated about a month ago and they'd be hearing testimony by now.
But that's not happening. It's unclear when it will happen or, in fact, where it'll happen. Defense attorneys for Tsarnaev are once again asking for the trial to be moved out of Boston. And meanwhile, the court has questioned more than 230 potential jurors from the Boston area and hopes to finalize the jury selection this week. Joining us now with the latest on this trial and the push to move it forward is WBUR senior reporter David Boeri. Hello, David.
Hi, Lisa.
Why is the issue of where this trial is going to happen such an important one in both the eyes of the defense and the judge? Because presumably they both want a fair trial.
It comes down for the defense to whether or not a man who is being charged with 30 counts, 17 of which could bring him the death penalty, can find a fair and impartial jury. The defense has been saying throughout that he can't find a fair and impartial jury here. There's such an overwhelming presumption of guilt and so much prejudicial pretrial publicity. The judge and the government insist that, in fact, they can seat a fair and impartial jury, that they do that through the process of individual questioning of jurors, a process called voir dire.
This is what's been going on for weeks now.
That's right. We're into the 19th day of voir dire questioning of individual jurors. There have been 22 days of jury selection overall. They've gone through 235 people. The judge continues to insist that he can find a fair and impartial jury.
So that's what the defense says, that the judge cannot find a fair and impartial jury. When you said the idea that someone comes in as a potential juror and, let's say, presumes guilt, thinks that Tsarnaev is guilty, that's okay.
That does not exclude somebody to have a presumption of guilt, because in the end, and the whole jury system is based on this notion that people can set aside the presumptions, that they can listen and follow a judge's instructions, follow the facts, that if they're willing to do that, they can be seated. The defense here says that in a state and city that themselves were the target of this operation, of a bombing that was aimed at the marathon, that it's so deep and the personal connections are so pervasive and profound, it can't happen.
That even if the person says, yes, I can set aside those feelings, and once I hear the testimony, I may change my mind, who knows if that's really the case?
The defense says that the one case that this is most like is the case of Timothy McVeigh in Oklahoma, which was moved, a trial that was moved 700 miles away because a federal judge said the defendants had been so demonized in the state that he could not get a trial in the entire state of Oklahoma. By the way, that was an extremely, extremely unique event, because when you look at the courts and the high court rulings, judges are allowed a tremendous amount of discretion, and rarely, in fact, in this district, not once in 50 years has a conviction been overturned because the high court ruled that the lower court judge had denied a change of venue.
So even if once the trial is held, the verdict comes in, even if that happens and the case is held here, the idea that the case of the trial was held here may not necessarily haunt those who...
No, it may not. And so what you have here in front of the Court of Appeals, and this is to the extent there's drama here, because the Court of Appeals once before rejected the change of venue request by the defense. They want the Court of Appeals to order the trial judge, George O'Toole, to move the trial, that once before this has been heard. So the drama here is awaiting the verdict to see if the judges that voted 2-1 before will vote the same way this time.
Is there drama that we know of within the Court of Appeals itself?
Yeah, there's one judge, he's 81 years old. He was appointed by Gerald Ford to the federal bench, and then by President Reagan to the appeals court. His name is Juan Torruella. He's 81 years old. He's from Puerto Rico. He's an Olympic sailor. And his nickname in his sailing days was Juan Torpedo. And that would describe this judge now, because he believes in principles and he's willing to go straight ahead on those principles. And he's willing to stand up to other judges, and he's done that. And you can see the tension, because he is openly critical of the other judges. He says that the fundamental issue here is due process. He clearly is offended by what he calls the frenetic pace of this, the fact that they did not stay jury selection while the Court of Appeals was given time to make its decision, which we're awaiting. And he clearly thinks that this is a compelling argument that the defense has to offer, that the entire state, the region, were victims.
Okay. So at this point, what happens next? Do we know when the court proceeding did not happen today? There was not questioning of jurors?
No, it's going to continue tomorrow. We're awaiting the decision by the Court of Appeals here. It would look, all signs indicate that once again they will reject the defense motion to have the judge ordered to change the venue. The defense will then, in all likelihood, seek a hearing of all the court, the full Court of Appeals, because they're going to continue on this issue. And probably at this point, we're going to have a pool of 70 jurors by midweek. 70 is considered safe enough to then seat 12 jurors and 6 alternates. And we're looking at a trial opening statements in this case beginning next week.
Okay. WBUR senior reporter David Boeri, thank you.
You're welcome.